put up, then what that your recommendation was, and maybe we can kind of address that, because there's a lot of discussion here about details that I think should be left to staff to work out further with.
These are the abbreviated, just not with all the options. Would you like to see the slides that
have all
the options?
Well, the one with that Mr. Shallcross was referring to. Yeah, because, you know, my sense is I'm very, you know, sensitive to Mr. Quinones's plight. I mean, you know, it really strikes me. I'm not as old as he is, but I will be there in about 10 years, and I can identify with the issues, you know, that he's grappling with.
I'm past that.
You're past that. Okay. How did you get into this? And, you know, my sense is I would like to do whatever we can do to kind of get past this, get it resolved, get it closed. I think, though, that we need some additional information so that we can get to that point and make that decision, you know, in terms of data. So, I mean, my own preference is to, at this point, retain the beneficial use designation. We can revisit that in the future, you know, if the data suggests that maybe that is appropriate. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just don't know that I have enough information right now with the levels that are in the groundwater. I'm in favor of doing some more investigation, which is appropriate to delineate what you feel is necessary so we can make further determinations, or you can make further determinations with what should be done with the site. I don't know that I would ask you to do any cleanup at this point, you know, unless my colleagues feel that that would be an appropriate step, and maybe back off on that.
The CAO, which is in your package,
yeah,
it required two elements. One is more characterization.
Okay.
And the second is a feasibility study, which is essentially lay down the cards with respect to what is the closure strategy, cleanup closure strategy. We think that actually is a very significant element.
But doesn't that have to come after the rest of the data is generated?
Yeah. But I think that's where you're going, is you're saying collect the data and then establish a reasonable closure strategy based on the data. Cleanup closure strategy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my personal preference as I sit here, but I
tend to agree with it, but I would certainly like to see the plume delineated as much as possible.
Yes, I agree.
Or as much as practicable, for those who like that word.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like delineate that plume. I think there's some agreement about a site closure strategy. I'm not opposed to a containment zone, for that matter, a priori. But I just would not feel comfortable going to that step without knowing a little bit more about the extent of the contamination. And if it can be done efficiently and cost-effectively, great, then we can be back here and can be considering a site closure strategy.
I think that's something that staff will consider.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily involve us, but we're only sitting here now listening to this because there's been a suggestion by the state board that we consider changing the basin plan. If that wasn't the issue, we wouldn't be listening to this. So
if we would like to, we can close sites EO approval if it meets MCLs. If it's above MCLs, obviously, it will come before you again. So
okay.
For your approval.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, so it would come to us.
I think there was one today.
I haven't heard from my colleagues down on the far end. Mr. Hodgen, do you wish to weigh in on this?
A little off the current discussion, I have a question for staff. Earlier it was stated that this board has sent an invoice to Mr. Quinones for a substantial amount of money. I'd like to know what it is that we have charged him for.
I can answer that. I guess it was probably in 2000 or 2001 that the State Water Resources Control Board changed their funding mechanism for cleanup staff and reimbursement. And at that point in time, they instituted a voluntary cost recovery program where a discharger could voluntarily join this program, and then they would get staff would actually be reimbursed. They would join the program, and in that case, the staff costs and times would be charged back to the discharger. What happens in there's actually a requirement in 13304, the water code. There's actually language that in a cleanup and abatement order that you can actually recover these staff costs from the dischargers, and they're not necessarily a voluntary joining of the program, if you will, to put it so bluntly. In this particular instance, our time has been spent reviewing the data because you're talking now a number of years. So you're talking reports that have been submitted, typically groundwater monitoring reports, any sort of work plans for doing additional work, writing letters, responding to letters that the dischargers may have written to us. When it came time to put together the enforcement order, our time was charged for preparing the order because we were not successful in getting these additional wells to be placed where we thought that they needed to be placed to delineate and characterize the extent of the plume. So there's these types of things that we actually charge our time, telephone conversations, meetings with the discharger. We charge them back to the actual responsible party. One thing we did not charge Mr. Quinones, and that is his one. He's actually filed two petitions with the State Water Resources Control Board, and we do not charge our staff time responding to those petitions because it's their, their right to disagree with us and go through due process. I know Francis can add more to that actual argument.
And what I think you, I just wanted to ask you a question. So the $50,000 is over since 2001. So 7 years of staff time has been.
No.
It's been.
When did it first?
We're not charging, I believe, at that time because he was not in the program at that time. It wasn't until.
I think my point is just over whatever time you're overseeing
this
site.
Yeah, it was 2006 and 7, pretty much. I think.
Okay.
That I just wanted to add under the water code,
You're required to charge for the oversight cost of staff, and that there's a provision of the water code that requires that the staff present to the discharger on an annual basis the estimated time that they'll spend on the site, the costs of that are expected to occur over that year, and then to recover those costs.
Well, thank you for the response. I think I understand a little better. $50,000 is enough to put most or many small business people out of business. It's a big amount of money. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Dr. Hunter, anything to weigh in on this?
No, I don't really have much to add because I think I agree with your points, Chair Young, and certainly with Mr. Shellcross. In wanting to see information to delineate the plume. And my concern would be, as Mr. Schimmick raised the issue and question regarding different types of contact that may be potentially occurring if there is migration of these contaminants. And it looks like things are in pretty close proximity there. And if there is good use of that public beach, that's something I think we should know as soon as possible. So if there is existing data, and yet, as Karen mentioned, you know, some of this, some of the assessment or evaluation and kind of taking the analysis to the next level with the existing data, that seems like a very logical way to go. And so I would like to have the emphasis expanded to include not just groundwater, but the soils and sands. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Well, Mr. Briggs, do you have a sense for maybe what...
How come you bypass me, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead. It's intentional, believe me.
I thought it was, but just to put my half cents worth in here, one of my concerns when I heard the $50,000 number, and then I heard that there was no contact with our staff for 21 years, I was wondering how that all came about. And of course, I knew about the reimbursement and the rules changing and so forth. But I also have to think as a businessman what the value, economic value of a perched aquifer for cleanup would mean. And somewhere in time we have to think about the dollars and cents equaling what we're trying to achieve. And this particular area is obvious. It's a perched aquifer. My concern is I don't know the boundaries of the contamination. I think that's one of the big hang-ups for me personally, is that how far has it gone towards the beach and how far in the other directions as well. We know, we've been told by scientists that PC and PCBs are bottom feeders. Basically, they go to the bottom. I don't know how that constituent reacts to heavy salt waters, if it would cling to salts and stay afloat. You're saying no. So if it's going to the bottom and stays at the bottom of that particular perched water area, then, again, I have to think about what economic benefit this is going to play out, and why, if it was necessary, and I haven't been persuaded one way or the other, but I'm just throwing these things out, why would we go to all of that if it's one of my questions, is this a confined area? And of course, you don't have the information to provide. And if it is a confined area and we put deed restrictions, then I couldn't see why we wouldn't have any way to go but to close the case in that contents. But if there is a threat, then I think that we need to go a little bit further. I think we need to go a little bit further right now because there's not enough information. But I think if the staff and the city and the applicants and his team got together, I think they could probably resolve a lot more of this. It was kind of obvious to me with your two-hour huddle out in the sun this morning that there was quite a bit accomplished. And I think probably a little bit more time. Would that be billed to the applicant, your time to be sitting down at these meetings? But anyway, I think that a lot of good heads are here and a lot of intelligent people, and I think this issue could be resolved pretty quickly if everybody sat down and got all this information together. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, if we take your language that's on page 15, because it's a little different than this language, mm-hmm. the actual recommendation.
Yeah.
Can we look at just how to make some, you know, massaging, some changes into that?
I think what I hear is the sense of the board is to proceed with communicating with the city and Mr. Quinones, try to come to some agreement in terms of cost-effective means of delineating the site, especially towards the ocean, but not strictly in that direction. Mr. Whitney talked about maybe some hand-augered grab samples, which doesn't sound like it would be terribly costly, and use that information to try to complete the site model and use that to figure out exactly what kind of a threat we're dealing with here and, in turn, what's feasible and what makes sense for the site. But the board is saying that we need to evaluate that very carefully, as opposed to the more stark recommendation here on page 15 of proceeding to cleanup.
Right. I don't think any of us are suggesting at this point to do anything towards cleanup.
All right.
It's the investigation part that should be done, and then, you know, if you can't get it resolved after that point with these folks, then maybe it will come back to us.
Right.
So.
And it would come back to you, as Karen Steckling was pointing out, it would come back to you unless it's completely cleaned up to water quality objectives anyway.
Right.
I think what you're saying is if we get to an impasse again, then
right.
that should also come back to the board.
Sure.
And I think that makes more sense than kicking it to the state board.
Right.
Also, I appreciate Mr. Quinone's plight and sympathize with the situation. However, I have to correct you on one point. The state board did not decide that the regional board should de-designate the groundwater basin. As you stated, the state board said that the regional board should consider it, and that's exactly what we proposed to do today to get off the dime on this issue after we'd tried to get this before the board in compliance with the state board's order, and the two parties wanted to postpone it twice and wanted to postpone it again. So considering what we've learned today, I'm glad that we did decide to proceed with it, and we'll keep the board posted on how this goes.
Okay. So, do we need a motion on this?
So, I think the...
Mr. Briggs and Chairman?
Yes.
May I add to this that by satisfying the state board order, that reactivates the CAO within a 90-day period. They've already passed the due dates within the CAO. What I might suggest is perhaps we relax the CAO in some manner as we have a dialogue with the city, or along those lines.
Suggest that too, that there needs to be probably a revision to the cleanup and abatement order or an issuance of a 13267 order, which is a monitoring reporting program,
right.
to make this clear in writing what's expected.
Yeah, it's not clear because we've already passed the dates in
right.
the CAO, and the CAO becomes reactivated.
Right.
And to summarize those requirements for you, there's a couple things, but the main requirements are to submit a work plan to
right.
do further characterization, and the second is, you know, after that, to submit a cleanup feasibility study.
Right.
So those are the two things we would need kind of your direction on. Whether or not you're okay with, you know, those being due within 90 days after today, if you make
no.
a decision about
no.
both or what to do about that.
Yeah, that's what has to be revised.
I don't mind them being done, but...
Right, so I would suggest, rather than setting a date today about when those are due, have some, that the staff just revises the order with the appropriate dates that fit the discharger's schedule.
Roger. The CAO is issued by Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we should handle that administratively.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just want to point that
okay.
out.
Do we need a motion, though, for this?
Not really, but if you want to.
If not, we'll take it as board direction, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. We are done with this item, and... They've got title to the property, I guess, and they're going to get benefits of this property in perpetuity. And I certainly hope that the city is able to assist Mr. Quinones, you know, in this effort. I don't know what your contractual relationship is with him with respect to this his sale of the property to you. But, you know, he's got a big burden on his back with this. So anyway, the public is benefiting from this property being now in the public domain as an open space forever. So, you know, it's like, you know, you come to the board here and all of a sudden this is our burden to deal with, and I think that the county, I mean, the city also is a government agency, can do something also to help move this forward. Just my personal comments. Nothing more. Okay, thank you.